This podcast sponsored by Cherry Hill Volvo.
At Cherry Hill Volvo, we have absolutely incredible offers, and a plethora of both new and certified Volvos from which to choose. Join Cherry Hill Volvo for the pricing and attention you deserve. I am Judith Krupnik, president of Cherry Hill Volvo.
Now, 60 minutes of nonstop talk on the Rich Cioli podcast.
All right, the question, of course, is will impeachment hurt the president? That is the question as the Democrats move forward with their articles of impeachment. Welcome back to the show. Glad you're here. The Cioli Show on Twitter, at Rich Cioli. Are you concerned? Facebook.com/Cioli Show. Big rally last night. Huge crowd for the president. Enthusiastic crowd, doing the wave, cheering, singing. It was an enthusiastic crowd, to say the very, very least. But are there political problems that the president needs to be worried about by all this? First of all, the vampiric one, Nancy Pelosi, was asked by a reporter, how can you say Trump is an existential threat to democracy? Well, you're working closely with him on a trade deal. Because don't forget, the Democrats also announced yesterday that they're putting up the USMCA for a vote, the United States-Mexico-Canada trade agreement. And they're doing this the same day they announced impeachment articles, because, as the president said at his rally, they want to try to distract people away from impeachment because they know how politically stupid it is. Cut four.
What do you say to those who wonder how you can say that President Trump is an existential threat to democracy on the one hand, but also work so closely with his administration to get something like this done, which is such a priority for them as well?
I would say that we came a long way from what he originally proposed. And there are some people who said, why make it look like he has a victory? Well, we're declaring victory for the American worker in what is in this agreement. But we would never, not any one of us, is important enough for us to hold up a trade agreement that is important for American workers because of any collateral benefit that might accrue to any one of us.
Yeah. There you go. They could still work with him, even though he's a threat to democracy, he's destroying the country, and my God, he uses Thanos' face. This is the president at the rally talking about USMCA.
Then came NAFTA, the NAFTA disaster, I call it, one of the worst trade deals in the history of any country, and the loss of 1 in 3 Pennsylvania manufacturing jobs. Your politicians always pledge to fix it. They talk about it for years and years and decades, but they never were able to do it. They came and they went to Washington and they did nothing. But unlike those politicians, I keep my promises.
The president pushing USMCA is a big deal, obviously. This is something that he's been talking about for a while. It's why I interviewed him in the Oval Office and why we had that day at the White House talking to all of the cabinet secretaries and other people regarding USMCA. But Pelosi says, you know, this was not about giving Trump a win. No. USMCA wasn't about Trump. Cut 10.
You and Richie Neal held a press conference on the USMCA trade deal. Heads are spinning in Washington. There's several critics on the left who are hitting you right now for impeaching the president, but at the same time giving him a deal on the USMCA, and that you should have waited until the election, because why give him a win? How do you respond?
Well, I say the same thing as I said to you before. This isn't about politics. Of giving a president a win. On Mexico, U.S.-Mexico-Canada agreement, I don't think any one of us is so important, including the President of the United States, that if we have an opportunity to advance the well-being of America's workers, America's farmers, America's manufacturers, America's interest, that if we have an opportunity to do the right thing by the American people, that we should walk away from it because of him?
Him.
It's just not worth it, in my view. And none of us is worth it. That is to say, not just him, none of us is worth it. So, yeah, there are people who have said, they're few. I know you like to, there are those who like to amplify any dissent. There are few who have said, if you shouldn't do this, this gives him a win. No, we're so far away from the proposal that he put forth that this is a triumph for American workers. We are miles and miles from what he put forth. So he has yielded on what this is.
Really? That's funny, though. You put it out the same day you announced the articles of impeachment, as the president pointed out at the rally. And why would they do that, right? Why would they announce the USMCA agreement after all this time when the same day they announced the articles of impeachment. Why would they do that? Unless it's done to give those 31 Democrats cover. And that's what I believe it's about. Those 31 Democrats, remember, running for re-election in districts that Donald Trump won in 2016. They got to have something other than impeachment to argue. Other than impeachment to show their constituents they've achieved something. That's why Pelosi announced this yesterday. As the president points out, cut 11.
After years of waiting, many, many years, many, many decades, they've been looking for this. And then we got it done, and we've been waiting for a long time for Nancy Pelosi to announce USMCA. And she did it on the same day that they announced that they are going to impeach the 45th president of the United States and your favorite president, I think. And the reason they announced it on the same day, 1 hour later, they announced impeachment. A few guys standing behind her. They announced impeachment. And then an hour later, she announced that she's going to do USMCA. You know why? It's a huge deal. And it plays down the impeachment because they're embarrassed by the impeachment. And our poll numbers have gone through the roof because of her stupid impeachment.
They're particularly embarrassed in those districts, particularly in those 31 districts. And remember, that's the game. That's the ball game right there. Yes, this is done entirely for those members of Congress, and there probably is a huge quid pro quo where they have to vote for impeachment to get USMCA. I guarantee you there's a quid pro quo. There's no way she's not going to give them a quid pro quo. She wants impeachment, you got to vote for USMCA. That's how it's going to work with those Democrats. Of course, from the minds of ABC News, this is exactly what the framers wanted. George Stephanopoulos, the unbiased journalist yesterday, very happy that this is exactly, and Pelosi really didn't want to do this. You know, she had to, but is so reluctant on this somber day. Cut five.
We saw the speaker, first sentence out of her mouth, go straight to the Constitution. The Democrats want to explain to the American people now, this is what the founders envisioned when they were talking about impeachable offenses.
I mean, she was the proponent of originalism this morning. This is exactly what the right. framers contemplated. Adam Schiff.
First time ABC Good Morning America has ever used the word originalism. Yesterday, mark it down, December 10th, the day it'll live in infamy. They used the word originalism.
Proponent of originalism this morning. This is exactly what the framers contemplated. Adam Schiff reiterated that. The framers contemplated the idea that there would be a president at some point in history whose ambitions would exceed the oath of office and would go beyond what the oath of office required. And there had to be a congressional remedy to check that. And that remedy was impeachment. This is not political. This is not a witch hunt. This is their solemn duty.
This is their solemn duty on this somber, sober day. 855-839-1210. Marshall is in Cherry Hill. Good morning, Marshall. Hello. Marshall, are you there? No, Marshall. All right. Sorry, Marshall. Gave you a chance. 855-839-1210. There were other reactions, of course, to the impeachment yesterday. A number of people thought this was fantastic. People thought this was great. Pelosi admitted, though, something that we've all talked about, which is that Democrats have been hell-bent on impeachment since day one. Day one. Hell-bent on this. And I told you this. We were at Chickies and Pete's doing the live show. And I said to you, they're going to impeach this president. Somebody called up and said they were mad at me. Like, for what? I said, the what is not relevant. It's only the when. The when it happens, because they are obsessed with it. And they were obsessed with it even on Inauguration Day.
One of the biggest criticisms of the process has been the speed at which the House Democrats
speed?
Are moving. If this is, but seriously though, seriously.
It's been going on for 22 months, okay? No, 2.5 years, actually.
There has been some criticism, though, I will say, about whether or not you should move forward before the end of the year or wait for the courts. Why do you think now is the time to move?
Well, I think we're not moving with speed. This was it 2.5 years ago that they initiated the Mueller investigation.
2 years. Is that the 2 years, right?
Two
I mean, he's been
years.
In office 2.5 years?
Yes.
Right. 2 years. Now, MSNBC is annoyed by the fact that it's the American people not jumping up and going, yes, impeachment, we love this. It's really the fault of Fox News, because Fox News is ruining everything. And if only Fox News wasn't there, well, then the American people would be all in rah-rah on impeachment, as Chris Matthews so artfully put it.
This bitterness and this division is not new. And then Watergate came along. And you know what the average Democrat thought?
we got a chance here to screw this guy, get this guy. Nixon said we gave them a sword and they plunged him with relish.
And you most think that's what Democrats are doing today?
No, I'm saying this bitterness and division in this country took decades to develop. It's not a newbie under Trump. Trump's exploited it.
But what is new is the way news is consumed. The poll numbers aren't changing. And we could say, hasn't anybody watched these impeachment hearings
back then.
Over the last
there
2 weeks?
There wasn't a Fox.
But today,
right, Fox ruined
half
everything.
The country is watching a completely
we're
different
all united,
version
except when Fox came around.
Offensive news. How much does that impact the way all this has been absorbed? That wasn't the case in the
Fox
last
Fox caused a civil war, too.
No, there wasn't a Fox. That's different. But there was, you know, I agree. Look, a lot of it has to do with medium. You know, back in the 60s, 50s, there was a moderate Republican newspaper, the New York Herald Tribune. And when they died, the moderate Republican Party, the modern Republican moderate party died. So you do need a medium. The New York Times is for liberals. The Wall Street Journal is for conservatives. I think you need a medium.
And you are that medium, Chris. You are that medium because you are such the voice of reason. And sober judgment.
I didn't know Fox News caused the Civil War.
I didn't tell you that.
No.
They don't teach you that in history
no.
class. Fox News came on the air in 1860,
okay.
caused the Civil War,
very...
then was off the air
okay.
after that.
Okay.
And in fact, it's one of the reasons why they impeached Andrew Johnson for he canceled Fox News.
Fox News.
He used the power of the FCC to shut down Fox News. That was one of the articles of impeachment. And it wouldn't come back until the 1990s. And then ruin America again and divide America again.
I like the bit, like there's something in there.
There's something there.
The 1860s Fox News, like what would the 1860s Fox News have sounded like?
Just dividing America. that's what they did back then. Let's see here now. The idea of censure came up, where they do then censure instead of impeachment. Censure, where they just slap the president on his wrist. Something moderate Democrats or Democrats running in moderate districts, I should say, would love, because then this way they don't have to vote for impeachment. But Sheila Jackson Lee said no to that. That's dead on arrival.
I know you supported censuring Bill Clinton, but not impeaching him, obviously, when you were there for his impeachment trial as a Democrat. Could you get behind that idea this time?
Well, I think without fully going into the issue of censure during 1998, my whole position was that the acts were not acts of government or interfering with the governance of the nation. They were private matters, although criticized, and this is far distinctive. This is high crimes and misdemeanors. These are constitutional crimes. I think it's important for the American people to know that the Constitution is a law. It is the law. And therefore, you can have constitutional crimes. The president has perpetrated a constitutional crime that equate to high crimes and misdemeanors by violating the trust of the American people, by abusing his power, by offering to have a foreign entity, both in the 2016 election when he asked were any Russians listening and wanted them to go get emails, by asking China were they listening, and to also go and interfere with the election. And I consider this a continuing threat to the 2020 election. For that reason, there is no room for censor at this time. I certainly welcome members of Congress who have their own opinions.
All right, enough with you, you blowhard. Enough. You know, the idea that the president now, China, Russia, but not Ukraine in 2016, right? Ukraine in 2016 was not involved. All these other countries were involved in trying to influence the election, but not Ukraine. Because if you bring up Ukraine, remember, that's a Putin talking point. But you can throw out China, throw out whatever you want. They are, I mean, the culmination of people like Sheila Jackson Lee, who has a safe district that's solidly blue, her constituents love this. She's not running in one of those 31 districts. She's not running in one of those 31 districts. If you had a congressperson stand up there and say what she just said, what this congresswoman said, in one of these swing districts where Trump won, they would lose in a heartbeat. The people in those districts simply don't believe Trump did those things because he didn't. And they haven't proved that he did. But you listen to them go on about the Constitution and this and that, and it sounds so serious and sounds so harsh. And you go on and you go, my God. And you realize they're just saying the same thing they've been saying for years, right? Russia, Mueller, where are the emails during the campaign? That's an impeachable offense now. They're throwing everything they have up there. And you know what? Do it in the House. But remember, in the Senate, it's the Republicans' turn. And in the Senate, the Republicans are going to prove that the president was concerned about corruption in Ukraine. How do you do that? Very simple. You bring up Hunter Biden. You bring up Joe Biden. You talk about Burisma. You talk about getting the prosecutor fired. You talk about all the reasons why they were worried about Ukraine being corrupt. And you bring up Ukraine's efforts in the 2016 election. Remember, three senators, Democrats, wrote a letter to Ukraine saying, cooperate with Mueller or else. Oh, yeah, then it's the Republicans' turn. And as they prove corruption, that's going to be proving the end of Joe Biden's presidential ambitions. You mark my words on that. 855-839-1210, 855-839-1210. That's why I still think Trump was the whistleblower. Where is he, the whistleblower? That's why I still think it's Trump.
The Rich Zeoli Show on your schedule. This is the Zeoli Show podcast.
Steve is in Oxford. Steve, good morning.
Hey, Rich, good morning. Real quick, Jackson Lee is the whack job who took a tour of NASA some years ago and asked one of the employees if they could drive the Mars rover over so she could see one of the American flags. True story.
I will look that up. I believe you.
Yeah, real quick, I have a theory about this whole impeachment thing. I think Trump, he's a mad genius. We know that. He's 20 steps ahead of these people all the time. I think he tweaked that phone call in such a way to get them to come after him for impeachment, knowing they would look like fools. Because, you know, only the left is for impeachment. The whole country isn't for impeachment. He's going to wear this as a badge of honor. And at the same time, he exposed Biden and his son. If none of this happened, nobody would know any of this.
Well, that's why I've said I think Trump is the whistleblower. Because all this has done, thanks for the call, Steve, all this has done is hurt Joe Biden. And it hasn't hurt the president. I mean, you heard him last night at the rally. He's fired up. He's as fired up and passionate as ever. He's not cowering under a desk and crying. He loves a fight, and he's got one. He's got one big time. But Joe Biden, I mean, as soon as that Senate trial starts, bring in Hunter Biden. Bring in Burisma. Bring it all. Let it all go public. Let it all come out. And when that happens, that's bad news for Joe and the other people. It's bad news for them. I mean, even CBS News had to admit yesterday there's no big charges here. CBS News, chief Washington correspondent Major Garrett, saw this as, you know what? All these things that they said that he did, bribery and everything else. Remember, bribery was the word you heard over and over again. Bribery, bribery, bribery. At the end of the day, the bribery is not one of the articles of impeachment. Cut six.
Why do you think that the Democrats have backed away from a word that they used quite prominently not so long ago, bribery, and also right. Extortion? What's the reasoning behind that?
Well, they clearly don't believe they have the evidence to make that case stick. Bribery, extortion, those were words that had great power and force just about a week ago, maybe 2 weeks ago, absent from this docket, if you will, of impeachment articles. And there's also something else conspicuously missing. Obstruction of justice, as Gail noted. That's what we're typically accustomed to hearing from when Congress decides whether or not a president has done something so bad that it must impeach the president. Obstructing justice has been part and parcel of both the Clinton and Nixon impeachment procedures. Not so this time. Why? Because House Democrats have, by any historical measure, accelerated this impeachment process. So they have not gone through what other impeachment processes have. Court challenges over disputed access to documents and or witnesses. If a White House defies a court order to comply with a congressional subpoena, then you can propound an article of obstruction of justice. But Democrats don't want to wait for those court procedures. In some cases, haven't even engaged them to test this question in court. So they're left with obstruction of Congress, which is a smaller sounding and, in the history of impeachment, less enforceable or less, let's say, strident accusation against the White House. In both cases, House Democrats are in full public view walking back away from some of the things they were alleging quite loudly just 2 weeks ago.
Exactly right. And this whole idea of obstruction of Congress is so stupid anyway, because the president didn't obstruct Congress. Their argument is he didn't let his people talk to us. Well, that's not obstruction. He doesn't have to. I mean, they invited his people to come. He said no. He didn't defy any court orders that forced anybody to go. Think about that. Right? This didn't go. Remember, with Nixon and the tapes, that went to the United States Supreme Court, and the Supreme Court said, you got to turn these tapes over. At that moment, Nixon knew it was over. But with Trump, there was not a single court that ruled affirmatively that, yes, these people have to testify. And so because that didn't happen and the Democrats didn't push it, it never went to the Supreme Court for that challenge. And Imagine if the court had said, yes, you must have Mick Mulvaney, acting White House Chief of Staff, he must testify, and the president said no. Now that, I would argue, would be an impeachable offense because he'd be obstructing Congress and defying the orders of the Supreme Court. Did that happen? No, it didn't happen because the Democrats never challenged the issue in court. They never challenged the issue before the Supreme Court. So nothing the president did, you can say, is obstruction of Congress because the president asserts executive privilege, which is his right to do as president. President doesn't let his lawyer testify because it's attorney-client privilege, which is his right, every American's right. And the president says to Congress, I've got nothing more to say to you other than here's the transcript, go read it. And they say, we want to hear from Bolton. President says, no, you can't hear from Bolton. Bolton says, I'll do whatever the courts tell me to do. Democrats could have pushed it all the way to the Supreme Court. And if the Supreme Court had ruled, yes, John Bolton must testify. Well, then at that point, if the president said no, he would be in violation. That would be an impeachable offense. But that never happened because the Democrats are rushing this to the point. That's the point Major Garrett's making. They're rushing this to such a degree that there's no court challenges like that. So how did the president obstruct Congress exactly? That's the thing. He didn't. He didn't any more so than you or I would be obstructing law enforcement by not talking to them, which we have Fifth Amendment protections against doing, or our attorney flipping on us, which attorneys are not supposed to do because attorneys are supposed to protect us when we're dealing with the law, right? Now, think about that. Imagine if you got charged with obstruction of justice because you refused to admit your guilt or talk to the law enforcement. You just said, I'm invoking my Fifth Amendment rights. Oh, yeah, well, we're going to charge you with obstruction of justice. What? We want your attorney to tell us what you did, since you won't. No, he's my attorney. I have attorney-client privilege. Waive it. Or we're charging you with obstruction of justice. What? Could you imagine that? I mean, how scary would that be for America, right? 855-839-1210, 855-839-1210. Let's do the movie thing we've got to do. We got a good one for today, I'm sure. Although, I don't know what the prize is. I don't have that, so... right. Okay, got that. Yes. All right, let's do it.
The Morning Mystery Clip. Yeah! On Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
8 Lincoln 30 to dispatch.
8L30, go ahead.
Yeah, that's a wild goose chase over here at Nakatomi Plaza. Everything here is okay. Over. But nobody has no place to go. Let it snow, let it snow, let it snow.
You know what it is? Be call at 12 at 855-839-1210, and you could win this great prize.
Well, you really went with the sound effects in that one, huh, Bill? The dialogue wasn't your thing today?
I did.
A pair of tickets to Oh, What a Night, a musical tribute to Frankie Valli and the Four Seasons, December 12th and 13th at the Event Center at Harris, Philadelphia. Tickets are available at Ticketmaster.com. Must be 21. Gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER. That, of course, is the ultimate Christmas movie. Just giving you a little hint. 855-839-1210. So, you know, no obstruction to Congress. That's the argument. And again, once this goes to the Senate, then the president now and the Republicans, it's their show. It's their show. And it's a totally different show. That's for sure. 855-839-1210. Listen, we're doing nonstop talk, unprecedented in Philadelphia Morning Drive Radio.
Thanks for taking the Zeoli Show with you, Rich Zeoli. Weekday mornings on Talk Radio 1210 WPHD.
Andrew, what's the movie?
Die Hard.
That's right. Now, is Die Hard a Christmas movie?
Yes.
Good answer. All right, you won officially. Thank you, Andrew.
Thank you.
All right, very good. It is a Christmas movie. There's no debate on that. I don't want any debate on that issue. Right? Settled. Settled law.
Agreed.
Science.
I agree. My husband disagrees, but...
Does he really?
Yeah.
Why? What's his argument?
He says it's not a Christmas movie, but...
Of course it's Die Hard's a Christmas movie.
Totally.
The ultimate Christmas movie.
100%.
Absolutely it is. And it's a movie of joy, and you can look at the bad guys as the Grinch, right?
Yeah.
Bruce Willis is like Santa saving the day. There's so much to that movie to analyze. There's a lot of deep themes in there. Deep themes. One of the key points of all this nonsense, of course, is that we still have an election going on. Bernie Sanders is doing better in Iowa than he was, but he's still not killing it. But he did shush a crowd. He did shush some people. And Bernie was very unhappy with people who were talking when Bernie was trying to get his points across. So he did a little shushing. Take a listen.
I get attacked
by Trump and the Republicans. I got attacked by the healthcare industry.
Attacked by the Democrats, too.
That's right. Ma'am?
Ma'am, zip it. He shushed the lady.
Attacked by the Democrats, too.
That's right. Ma'am?
Ma'am, zip it. Bernie does not like when he gets interrupted. He does not like it. Doesn't make him happy. Zip it, lady. Especially, so, what's that?
Especially not by a woman.
No. Particularly not that. That's like the ultimate for him. That's the penultimate of just violating Bernie's patience. He can't take it. He just can't. Something about it just sets him off. 855-839-1210 is our number. And I'm just curious if you think impeachment is going to hurt the president. He certainly, last night, like I said at the rally, did not seem like he had any worries on his mind. He seemed fired up. He seemed energetic. Just loving the crowd, loving the moment, loving the enthusiasm. And he took time to go after the IG report as well. Took time to go after that. The scum at the FBI who destroyed people's lives, cut 12.
So they tried to frame innocent people in the ludicrous. It all started with the Russia witch hunt, right? Then the Inspector General's shocking report proved that the Obama FBI obtained secret warrants to spy on my campaign based on a phony foreign dossier of debunked smears paid for by crooked Hillary Clinton and the DNC. The FBI failed to disclose the nature of the political hit job to the FISA court. They hid it, they deceived it, and they lied. The dossier was written by a discredited foreign agent who, quote, desperate that Donald Trump not get elected, and was passionate about him not being the United States president. What's this? They spied on our campaign, okay? They spied. Never happened before in the history of our country. And we're really wise to it. We're wise to it. The Inspector General found that the FBI's spying application contained 17 errors and omissions, commonly known as lies and deceit. When the FBI, and you have great people in the FBI, but not in leadership. You have not good people in leadership. You haven't had. When the FBI uncovered evidence showing that we did absolutely nothing wrong, which was right at the beginning, they hid that exonerating. You know that. They hid it. They hid it so nobody could see it, so they could keep this hoax going on for 2 years. They knew right at the beginning that it was all a frame-up, a setup. But they hid it so that nobody could see it, so they could keep it going on, thinking they were going to hurt us politically. But now we're stronger politically than we were ever before. And the FBI also sent multiple undercover human spies to surveil and record people associated with our campaign. Look how they've hurt people. They've destroyed the lives of people that were great people, that are still great people. Their lives have been destroyed by scum, okay, by scum.
All of this was said at the rally last night, the day that they announced that they were formally going forward with the articles of impeachment, the day after the Inspector General's report came out. I mean, like, history in the making right in our backyard. Amazing. And again, the crowd's with him. The crowd's enthusiastic. He sounds fired up. The Attorney General Bill Barr went on TV yesterday. He did an interview with Pete Williams, and they asked him about the Inspector General's report. Now, remember something. The Inspector General did this report, and nobody read it, but it's 400-something pages. In that report, he found 17 errors and omissions in applications for warrants. That's basically the big headline. The president from day one has been saying his campaign's been spied on. And people in the media and on the left have been saying that he's a kook and he's been dreaming up this crazy conspiracy stuff. Well, the Attorney General went on with Pete Williams and he discussed all this. And, I mean, he admitted, yes, the Trump campaign was spied on. Now, this is key. The Attorney General of the United States, who's saying all this stuff, he doesn't have to. He's not compelled to do so. The president's not going to order him to do so. And Bill Barr doesn't have to say anything. I mean, the FBI director disagreed with the IG's report. So Bill Barr could either say nothing or Bill Barr could disagree with it himself, but he doesn't. And remember, he's the guy that appointed John Durham to investigate this, which is also ongoing. So this is the interview of Pete Williams, cut 7.
Before I go into a couple of other questions, let me just sort of button this up. I think a lot of people will hear what you're saying here and think, well, that's just Bill Barr defending Trump. Your concern about the FBI's investigation is what? Civil libertarian?
I think our nation was turned on its head for 3 years. I think based on a completely bogus narrative that was largely fanned and hyped by an irresponsible press. And I think that there were gross abuses of FISA and inexplicable behavior that is intolerable in the FBI. And the Attorney General's primary responsibility is to protect against the abuse of the law enforcement and intelligence apparatus and make sure that it doesn't play an improper role in our political life. That's my responsibility, and I'm going to carry it out.
Yeah, you know what? That's a key point, right? We have to make sure that our constitutional liberties are protected. We got to make sure, and the Attorney General has to make sure, that our civil liberties are not violated by the intelligence and law enforcement apparatus. 100%. And they were, and that's the problem. And so he was asked during the interview with Pete Williams, you know, and what is the greatest danger to our system, our system of government? What is the greatest danger here? Cut 8.
Well, as a policy matter, why not open an investigation on a thin pretext? I guess on the one hand, you could say it's a presidential campaign. It's very sensitive. You need better evidence. On the other hand, you could say it's a presidential campaign. We have to be very careful. There could be a threat to our political process.
Well, I think probably from a civil liberty standpoint, the greatest danger to our free system is that the incumbent government use the apparatus of the state, principally the law enforcement agencies and the intelligence agencies, both to spy on political opponents, but also to use them in a way that could affect the outcome of the election. As far as I'm aware, this is the first time in history that this has been done to a presidential campaign, the use of these counterintelligence techniques against a presidential campaign. And we have to remember that in today's world, presidential campaigns are frequently in contact with foreign persons. And indeed, in most campaigns, there are signs of illegal foreign money coming in. And we don't automatically assume that the campaigns are nefarious and traitors and acting in league with foreign powers. There has to be some basis before we use these very potent powers in our core First Amendment activity. And here, I felt this was very flimsy. Basically, I think the department has a rule of reason, which is at the end of the day, is what you're relying on sufficiently powerful to justify the techniques you're using? And the question there is, how strong is the evidence? How sensitive is the activity you're looking at? And what are the alternatives? And I think when you step back here and say, what was this all based on? It's not sufficient. Remember, there was and never has been any evidence of collusion. And yet this campaign and the president's administration has been dominated by this investigation into what turns out to be completely baseless.
Well, of course, it doesn't turn out that way.
That's the Attorney General of the United States of America saying that there was no collusion and that they were spied on. And the greatest threat to our system is this idea that the intelligence and law enforcement communities can use their power against American citizens and intervene in a political campaign. Jim is in Chalfont. Jim, good morning.
Hey, Rich. Listen, great show. We love it. Was
Thanks.
Wondering, I was listening to Laura Ingraham last night, and she was bringing out a segment about all the different talking points of why they're impeaching the president, and that ultimately Nadler and Schiff and Pelosi are guilty of the exact same thing. And so why shouldn't we impeach them? My question to you is, can we legally do that?
Well, first of all, the Republicans would have to win back the House if they wanted to discipline one of their members and remove them from the House. That would be something that they'd have to. First, they got to win back the majority.
Okay.
So that's number one. They got to do that first. If they can't do that, then no, there's nothing you can do about that. But if the Republicans win back the majority in the House and they want to deal with Adam Schiff and Jerry Nadler and Pelosi for allowing this entire sham to continue and cost taxpayers, and they want to either censure them or ultimately eject them from the House of Representatives, they could certainly do that. But first, they got to win back the majority this fall.
I see. So that's what has to happen. And then, but if they in fact had the opportunity to do that and won back the House, and they had the opportunity to go forward and impeach them or attempt to impeach them, what kind of sentence do you think they could bring upon that?
No, it would be removal from the House. It's not a sentence. They can't. Yeah, they can't sentence them to prison, but they could kick them out of the House if they wanted to, or censure them. But no, there's no law enforcement. It's not a legal matter in that sense.
Oh, I see.
All right, Jim. Thanks for the call, bud. You got it. 855-839-1210. Let's check in with Dawn this morning on this snowy morning. Good morning.
Yes, good morning. We have 35 degrees, and the snow will end in a couple hours, but some slippery, patchy spots, so some rough going, especially for if you're in rural areas or suburban areas. Philadelphia, it looks like nothing's sticking, and the roads are it's too warm to be icy. So that's the good news here. Talk Radio 1210 WPHT's Yoli Show News, brought to you by Exergen. So a suburban spa was allegedly offering sex for sale, forcing human trafficking victims into a life of sex slavery. This from Smyrna police, who say they've arrested and charged 61-year-old James Wall, 64-year-old Sha Shen, the Delaware couple accused of using their spa as a front, using young victims who were trafficked into this country illegally, forcing them to perform these acts for customers at their business. And this after a years-long investigation. Smyrna police partnering, they say, with Homeland Security, Salvation Army, Zoe Ministries. They're offering resources to these human trafficking victims who were rescued during this investigation. We haven't been told yet how many victims they are, but they were tipped off to this about a year ago, and they've been conducting these undercover investigations.
Will they actually find victims of human trafficking, or just people offering prostitution?
Well, that's they say they are.
'Cause remember in the one in Florida with the Patriots owner,
yes.
Right? They found no evidence of human trafficking after all that. They just busted girls for giving services, women for services. No, nobody was underage. But you're saying this one, they actually have actual human trafficking victims.
Yes. So there apparently some escaped to New York. So there was a rescue center there. This is how part of this was tipped off, that some of the women were able to escape.
All right.
So we'll continue.
We shall see
this.
If they actually file charges against human trafficking.
Yes.
And not just happy endings.
Yes. Right. Well said. Well, in Pennsylvania, not a happy ending for longtime Kennett Township manager Lisa Moore. She's facing more than 100 felony charges, and she's accused of stealing more than $3 million.
I hate people that do this. This really gets to me. You know, these people in government that steal our money.
Yeah, well, that...
Oh, man.
That's a lot of people just reacting. This was a 46-year-old attractive woman who was there 20 years. Everybody knew her. Everybody liked her. So a lot of people just say they're just shocked by this. And she allegedly spent the money on lavish trips, expensive clothes or bags over a period of many, many years. So last night, my son Michael said, you know, it sounds like she got away with it for a long time. If she didn't steal millions, maybe she would have... I mean, who was watching her?
Well, that's the problem. She's in charge of the money.
Right.
I mean, she's overseeing all this, and she's on the take.
Yeah. Geez.
So that's, these people, special place in hell for them.
Merriam-Webster announcing its word of the year. Are you ready? The pronoun they. Yes, the word can be used to refer to one person whose gender identity is non-binary.
They are very happy with this.
So they are very happy. Now, they say, look, this is not about, you know, being woke. They say it was determined by data because the American English Dictionary says the searches for the term have risen by 313% over the last year. So they look at which word is Googled the most, apparently, or searched. That's how they claim they got into it.
They are woke. By the way, is woke actually in the dictionary? Is that word in there? Do you know?
That's a good question.
I'd like to know.
Is it defined as like we say it in the Zeal Show?
Because, I mean, we use that word every day.
That's true.
The president used it the other day, woke. I couldn't believe that.
This day in history, 1992, May 11th. So the film release of... The Muppet Christmas Carol, Jim Henson Productions, Walt Disney, and going viral.
Say that again. Sorry. Say it again.
It was The Muppet Christmas Carol.
Muppet Christmas Carol. You know, I started to watch it with my kids the other day.
Aww.
Because I love that one, The Muppet Christmas Carol. That was a great one. And, you know, that's like, I don't know. I mean, that's the stuff we grew up with. And back then, they actually used puppets. They didn't use CGI.
Yes.
So it's really cool. But it's kind of boring to them because they're used to the CGI cartoons where everything is much more flashy. And, you know, so the puppets are a little bit, you know. But it's good stuff, though.
It is. It really is. And speaking of Christmas, going viral, this video of employees, they gather for their yearly holiday party. Everybody receives a red envelope when they come into the room. They're gathered around their boss, Edward St. John, who runs their Baltimore, Maryland-based real estate company, tells them he wants to share the company's incredible success during good economic times. So these 198 employees, they clearly have no idea. Their boss is doling out a $10 million holiday bonus. So they open up these envelopes. I mean, this is people are crying and screaming.
Wow.
The average bonus check, $50,000. But the size of the check depends on the years of your service. So if you've been there for a long time, and apparently there are many long-timers, many are getting six-figure bonuses upwards of $250,000.
I don't understand. I thought greedy executives just want to keep it all for themselves.
This boss is like the best boss ever.
Yeah.
He said that he's very thankful for every one of his employees for their hard work and dedication. And he wanted to do something that would make a significant impact on their lives to say thank you. And so a lot of people just said, we're paying off our mortgage, we're paying for our kids' education. It just, it really, it
Well, they
you.
Also got to pay taxes on it. Remember that.
Oh.
They got to pay taxes on
true.
It. There's no free money.
But you know, our Entercom holiday party's next week.
Yeah, you think you'll get a big bonus check?
Yeah, we're getting the red envelope.
Nice. Can't wait for that.
Eyewitness weather. You know, we were all worried about this snow. It's pretty much, it's clearing up, but we still will have flurries through, and it's flurrying and snowing in some parts. So we have 35 degrees snow showers right now, and this will last on and off until about 10:30, 11 a.m. this morning. But then the cloudy skies just remain cloudy. No more precipitation for a couple of days. 40 degrees is the high today. Tomorrow, bright and sunny, but the high is only 37 degrees. So is your family ready for cold and flu season? Knowing when it's the flu really lets you know when to call your doctor. The flu obviously brings a fever. Be prepared with a thermometer you can trust. The Exergen Temporal Scanner, backed by more than 80 clinical studies. Visit Exergen.com. I'm Dawn, Scioli Show News, always on the Radio.com app.
Thank you, Dawn. In just a few minutes, we'll talk to Chris Ruddy from Newsmax. He's the founder of Newsmax. He's a buddy of the president's. We'll chat with him in just a sec. 855-839-1210.
The Rich Scioli Show, on your schedule. This is the Scioli Show podcast.
Steve's in Westchester. Steve, good morning.
Hey, good morning, Rich.
What's up?
So, you know what? I keep hearing these interviews with Bill Barr, and I don't understand why he just doesn't simply say, this has nothing to do with Donald Trump. If this was Barack Obama, Bill Clinton, God forbid, Elizabeth Warren, he wouldn't stand for it either. And just to say that he's investigating not because of Trump. He's investigating because of the actual misdoings and of the FBI going rogue.
Well, I agree with you. I think it's what he was trying to say, that the biggest threat to our system is the government using law enforcement and intelligence to go after private citizens and to engage in politics. I mean, he's trying to stop this from happening ever again to anybody else. And that's the point, right? If it's not stopped now, it's going to happen to somebody else. And yes, the Democrats, it could happen to them, too.
I agree. I just feel like if he would turn it around on some of these reporters like George Stephanopoulos and say, you know, listen, would this be okay if it was Barack Obama? Would we be having the same arguments and conversations? And I think not.
Right. No, it's a great point. Thanks, Steve. Appreciate the call. 855-839-1210. Chris Ruddy is the founder of Newsmax, Newsmax TV, Newsmax.com. Hey, Chris, good morning.
Rich, great to be on with you.
Great to have you back on. Absolutely. Now, I got to ask the question. Have you been down to Mar-a-Lago recently?
Well, I saw the president over Thanksgiving in Florida, in Palm Beach. He was down at Mar-a-Lago, so I saw him a few times. I am here in Washington. I'm going to the White House today.
Nice.
So I will see him again.
All right.
As you know, I've known him for 20 years, and he likes Newsmax, and we've had a great relationship as a friend.
but also I'm full disclosure, a supporter.
Yes, you are. And that's you disclose that as I do. I interviewed him in the Oval Office a couple weeks ago. And same thing with me. You know, I'm a supporter. I'm not trying to be an objective journalist, but I do think we have to get he needs more friendly allies in the media. Let's just put it that way.
Well, you know, just like that caller just before I got on said, you know, they didn't treat Obama the way they treated the president. The president and I have chatted about this. You know, the Washington Post has about 30 reporters covering Donald Trump. You know, if he sneezes, there's a story in the Washington Post. You know, maybe the president's dying. He sneezed yesterday.
Right.
You know, and they have a reporter that does a story and calls 10 doctors asking, why did the president sneeze at the press conference? They didn't have this with Obama. During Obama, I think there were 4 Washington Post reporters assigned to the White House. 4. So they have decided, the media, the fourth estate in this country, that they did not like the election result. They were very unhappy that Hillary lost, that Donald Trump won. And they have been fighting this since. And that's why we're in this impeachment mode right now.
Now, over at Newsmax TV, you've got a lot of people on. You have Alan Dershowitz on. You know, I love Alan Dershowitz. I love the fact that he is a constitutional scholar who's also a liberal who did not vote for Donald Trump, because I don't think you can get better, more objective analysis than that.
Yeah, Alan Dershowitz, I think Newsmax TV is now his primary place. I know he goes on Fox and a couple other networks, but he comes on us probably the most. And I think he feels the closest to us because we, you know, have a view that I early on, before Fox was putting him on, felt this guy is fair and honest. He might be liberal, but he's honest. And he said, look, if this was Hillary Clinton and the Republicans were calling for her impeachment, he said he would be arguing against it. And he just feels there's no high crime that the president committed. So Alan's on Newsmax TV all the time, pretty much.
Well, I think his point is right. And he also gets into what the founders and the framers of the Constitution wanted from the impeachment clause and what their goals were here. But he's also been a consistent defender of due process rights. And, you know, the president has said, Chris Ruddy, as you've heard, as I've heard many times now, that his due process rights have been completely, completely abandoned by Congress here.
So the president and I chatted right after Nancy Pelosi made this announcement in September, and I said to him that I thought this was a political act, not a legal act, that there was no evidence that he violated any crime. I don't know if the call was perfect, but I would say it was perfectly legal. And we're now over 2 months into this. They're ready to vote on impeachment. Nobody has yet, Rich, identified what the crime is, what the law or the statute was that the president violated. And in fact, the one thing they kept saying, he engaged in bribery, quid pro quo. They've dropped that because there's no evidence of that at the end of the day. And they're using two very vague arguments, abuse of power, which is not a crime. It's a questionable thing. And abuse of obstruction of Congress, which is also a very gray area. And Obama obstructed Congress and didn't comply with a lot of subpoenas and other things they requested under Eric Holder. So this thing is just purely political. That's why they're racing to do it before Christmas so they can all go on holiday and go get ready for the presidential election.
Chris Ruddy's with me. He, of course, is the founder of Newsmax, and grateful to have him on the show. Yeah, they want to get it done before Christmas, because really, if it was so politically powerful for them, right, Chris, if they were making political mileage on this, they would suspend it right now, right? They'd go on recess, pick it up in January, and have this go on for months. But to your point, they want to get it done and then get to the holidays. It's why Pelosi announced USMCA yesterday, because the sooner they can put this behind them, especially those 31 Democrats in districts that Trump won in 2016, the sooner they can get back to talking about other issues. If this was a political winner for them, there's no chance that they would vote on it before Christmas.
They'd also keep it going because the polling data, Rich, out of states like Pennsylvania and Michigan and all these battleground states, is the president's actually gotten stronger. And then in the national polls, his approval numbers are higher than they were before she announced this. So we're talking about the greatest economy in 50 years, lowest record unemployment, criminal justice reform, veterans reform. This president, you know, he's just hit home run after home run. And they're really fighting. This is, again, they're upset about the election result. They don't have a candidate to stop him next year. This is the equivalent of a Hail Mary pass. This is what they're doing. And on Newsmax TV, we've been having program after Steve Bannon has a program now called War Room, where he's been covering the impeachment. Mike Huckabee has a weekend show. Michelle Malkin has an investigative show. We're trying to get this news and information to the American public that they're not getting from the mainstream media or even Fox.
Yeah, Fox is some of their guests have been questionable lately. Let me ask you this question, Chris. What advice would you give as far as quick Senate trial or extended Senate trial? I vote extended, but what do you say?
I think it should be a quick. And because there's really no evidence that was much evidence that was presented by the House, they should go through it. I know some people argue they should bring witnesses that support the president up. But, you know, I think the public would like to see us move on from this impeachment pretty quickly. And the president should focus on his jobs record and his foreign policy record. And I think that's where he's got a winning story.
So don't bring Hunter Biden up. Don't get into Burisma. Don't get into any of that.
You know, the Senate could do congressional hearings separate than the trial and
yes,
all of that. And I think that's fine. I think that's the way it should have been handled from the beginning.
Yeah, like Lindsey Graham is the chairman of the Senate Judiciary Committee. I've been asking this question until I'm blue in the face. Why did he not immediately convene hearings when the quote-unquote whistleblower's lawyer that found out he tweeted, the coup has begun? Right then and there, he should have started judicial hearings to try to figure out what's going on here, what their goals were, is this an attempted coup, an ongoing attempted coup? Graham had the power to do that. He didn't do that. So you're right. I guess that's a good point. They could do a quick trial, but subsequently get it to the heart of all this to try to figure out what happened here.
You know, all of these guys are running for Senate. They're all a third of the Senate's up for re-election next year. Lindsey is. They're all making political calculations as well. You know, I'm not on Capitol Hill all the time. I did see Lindsey down in Florida a couple of weeks ago. You know, he was saying basically this impeachment was absurd. He thought it was ludicrous. He didn't indicate he's going to do more hearings, but he's indicated publicly that he wants to do more and find out what the basis of this, some of this is. So I think it'll be separate maybe from the Senate trial, but I think it would be a positive thing to have congressional oversight.
Chris Ruddy, how can people get Newsmax TV?
We're now in 70 million cable homes, almost as much as Fox. We're on Comcast. If you have the new X1 box, you just hit the microphone and say, go to Newsmax TV, or it's channel 1115 on Comcast. We're on Verizon Fios. We're on UVerse. We're on DirecTV, channel 349. We're on Dish 216. Just go to your cable system, whatever system you have, and we're on the Optimum system. I know some people in Pennsylvania get that. We're on channel 102 on Optimum. Just tune in and you'll see us. And we're on 24/7, incredible programs. Our ratings are going way up. And thanks to people like you who've been mentioning Newsmax TV, Rich, we greatly appreciate that. And I think it's important that America not just have one Fox News, that we need to have more voices that support our president and support our country.
I agree. Chris Ruddy, thanks for coming on the show. Give the president our best, okay?
I will, Rich. Thank you.
You got
it. Keep up your good work.
Thank you, Chris. 855-839-1210. 855-839-1210 is our number. Joe is in Montgomeryville. Joe, go ahead, sir.
Hey, buddy. You do an absolute awesome job.
Thank you.
And on a daily basis. I really don't think. So, first of all, I don't believe Pelosi even thinks she's going to get the impeachment full vote. Okay? I think that's their way out. They know that if these 30 Democrats in the House vote to impeach, they're going to lose. They're going to lose most likely the Senate. And they don't want to give up the Senate. They're going to lose the House, and they don't want to give up the House. So, you know, they already dropped the bribery. You know, you can't obstruct Congress if you are going through the legal channels of the courts. That's ridiculous. So in the end, I think you're going to look at it. They may be able to push as close as they can on abuse of power. But I'm sorry, they already lost. I think there's two Democrats that already said they're not voting for impeachment, and they're outside of the 30. So I'm wondering if they know they're not going to get him impeached.
Well, Joe, it's a big calculation for them. That's why I wonder the question, you know, does she put up USMCA to give these Democrats in those moderate districts cover to be able to vote for impeachment? But it's a quid pro quo. Like, you want USMCA, you got to vote for impeachment.
Yeah, well, the the problem with that is that's a huge win for Trump. Trump is the one that renegotiated. Trump's the one that engaged it. Trump's the one that got rid of the old, trade deal. Okay, something he said, that was a campaign promise.
You're right. I agree with you. So, I agree with you 100%. It's a big win for him, and that's why politically you got to wonder why she's doing it.
Well, I don't know. I think she feels they're vulnerable. I don't think she's going to get the votes. And like you said, maybe that they can go home and they can say, hey, look, we did this too, and hope that, look, I mean, if we peel off, 19 of those guys, that the vote doesn't make it.
Yeah. Joe, thanks for the call, bud. Appreciate it. Good points. 855-839-1210.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.